it's time to listen to the interviews from Island Life on Saturday, the 19th of March, 2016. Island Life is Waiheke Radio's weekly look at Waiheke people, events and issues. And the show is brought to you with the support of the Humble Pie Village Butchery. You'll find them at 102 Ocean View Road, Oniroa. On Saturday, the 19th of March, Brent Simpson talked to journalism lecturer Greg Treadwell about his fundraising campaign for Bradley Ambrose's defamation case against John Key, and he spoke with Katie Soljak about a poetry and songwriters event she's hosting.
That was a band called Best Coast with a track called In My Eyes. Before that, classic Zeppelin track, Good Times, Bad Times, which might sum up Mr. Key's future, possibly, good times or bad times, if it works out that Mr. Treadwell's campaign, which we will find out a bit about, to support Bradley Ambrose, who wants to bring a defamation case against the Prime Minister for... Now, what was it called, Greg? I'll just check that you're on there.
Well, am I on?
I don't know. I can't quite hear you. You might be on here. Hold on, try that one.
Yep,
there you go.
Okay, cool. Good morning, Brent.
Good
Thanks
morning,
for having me on.
Greg.
Morning, Waiheke. Another beautiful day in paradise.
Hmm.
Bradley Ambrose was a cameraman at the time. The teapot tapes incident emerged from, you know, this slightly preposterous publicity stunt. It wasn't the last election, if I could just correct you. It was
the election before.
Believe it or not, this is the 2011 election we're talking about. And... John Banks was leading the ACT party at the time and standing in Epsom, and which of course is that weird right wing seat that, you know, always taken by some kind of fringe right wing kind of character. But anyway, Mr. Banks was standing there, and John Key arranged to meet him for a cup of tea in a cafe in Newmarket and invited the media along. And it was a publicity stunt. It was designed to let the media show the nation that Mr. Key was endorsing Mr. Banks in Epsom and encouraging people who might once have voted for National to vote for ACT in the Epsom electorate to get ACT into Parliament so he'd have a coalition partner in Parliament. But it all went rather terribly wrong. There came a moment after the photo opportunity was over when Mr. Key and Mr. Banks asked the media to leave the cafe, and they were fairly... heavily guided out by security staff.
Yeah.
And in that moment, Mr. Ambrose went with them and didn't retrieve a transmitter microphone that was in a little black bag on the table where Mr. Banks and Mr. Key were having their cup of tea. So in fact, their conversation was recorded, even though they weren't aware of that.
Yep.
Mr. Ambrose passed the tape on to the Herald on Sunday, who declined to publish it. It has, of course, been leaked online if anybody wants to go and hear what they said. They made a few rude comments about Winston Peters supporters. But to be honest, the whole thing was a little bit of a storm in a teacup, if you'll excuse the expression. Because in the end, Mr. Ambrose wrote a letter of apology to Mr. Key and Mr. Banks that he, not that he had inadvertently left his transmitter on the table, not at all, because he always has maintained that he had no opportunity to retrieve it.
Right.
But he did write a letter of apology for having passed the tape on to the Herald on Sunday, who declined to publish it.
Yep.
And in the end, the police, having taken, you know, having met with Mr. Key to ascertain his views on it, decided that there was no prosecution going to happen. It was all really nothing in the end. They didn't say much on the tape. But Mr. Key, I think, having seen his publicity stunt go terribly wrong, was outraged and furious, and he lashed out. I can't really go into the details of the case. It's up to the court.
Yep.
I don't know if Mr. Ambrose, if he's able to get this case to court, is going to fight. I don't know that the court's going to find in his favour. That's not why I'm involved at all. But if he gets his case to court, it's going to cost him $38,000. And that's not to pay his lawyers. That's just the High Court filing fee for a defamation case. So essentially, we started a Give a Little campaign, as much as anything, to raise the profile of the case. We made a little bit of money, but not a huge amount, about $8,000 so far.
Yep.
Another few days to run. If anybody on Waiheke is interested in contributing, you can just go to givealittle.co.nz and search for the name Bradley Ambrose, and the page will come up. And so yeah, Mr. Key said, among other things, that Mr. Ambrose's behaviour and the behaviour of the New Zealand media was at the top of a slippery slope, and at the bottom of that slope was behaviour like the... Well, in fact, he likened Mr. Ambrose's behaviour to the behaviour of journalists at the News of the World, who hacked Millie Dowler's phone, the dead schoolgirl's phone, hacked into various other, you know, illegally, highly illegally. It was, in my view, a pretty poor comparison. Yep. And as a result, Mr. Ambrose... I mean, I can't prove causality, of course, but yep. Mr. Ambrose is pretty convinced that as a result of what was said about him, he's found it very hard to get work since. So he wants to bring a defamation suit to clear his name as yep. much as anything.
So is he he's currently... is he sort of a freelance type? Is he a journalist or is he just...
He's a cameraman and journalist. Yeah, these days it's pretty hard to, you know, the news organization... He is a freelancer, so he's not working for a particular news organization anyway.
So that's kind of key, isn't it? That if he's a freelancer, he's claiming that this has impacted his ability to sort of make a financial...
Absolutely.
...out of... Because of his...
Yeah, absolutely.
Being, right.
Yep, he's really struggling to make a living in a trade that he's very good at.
Yeah.
I probably should say here, Brent, that I've never met Mr. Ambrose.
Right.
He's not a mate of mine.
I don't
know him at all. I had to make contact with him because Give a Little won't let you set up a page without the approval of the beneficiary.
Yep.
So I sent him a couple of emails, and to be honest, he was humbled. He said by email that he was pretty much down to buy a lot of tickets, hoping to clear his name. He's I don't know. Somebody's told me he's a colourful character.
Nothing
wrong with being a colourful character, is there?
Yeah, no. So, and from what I understand, the defamation laws in New Zealand are a little bit, not unusual, but a little bit different than they are in, say, United States and places like that, aren't they? And I'm
not an expert in the US law, but I know the New Zealand law pretty well, being an ex-journalist myself.
Yeah.
Somebody sues you for defamation, and to defame somebody under the Defamation Act of 1991 is pretty easy. And to be honest, you've sort of got to get your head around this. A lot of people are defamed in the media every single day.
Right.
Right. Because to defame somebody, the strict technical definition, you simply have to lower their reputation amongst right-thinking people. Now, I don't know how you define right-thinking people these days, but anyway, if you lower somebody's reputation, you've defamed them.
Right.
Now, as a journalist, you do that quite regularly because you're publishing other people's views of the politicians that are critical. We defame people regularly.
Sure, yeah.
But... if they bring a case of defamation against you, you have some defences which make the claim for defamation go away. And the biggest and most obvious one is truth. If you can show the court what you said or what you published somebody else as saying is true, then the defamation can't win. So truth is your ultimate defence.
Right.
There are other defences. There are certain places where journalists have privilege, Parliament, High Court, District Court, and to some point with a limited privilege, what we call weak qualified privilege, even at your local board meeting on Waiheke Island, people can say things and not be sued for defamation, as long as they're truly in the public interest and are free from malice. If you're sued with defamation, the person bringing the charge against you doesn't have to prove what you said was false.
Yeah.
You have to prove what you said was true. So if Bradley can get Mr. Key on the stand, and that's the whole point, get Mr. Key out of the privilege of Parliament, out of the privilege of places where he can say whatever he wants without fear of defamation, if Bradley can get him onto the stand at the High Court he believes that Mr. Key will be unable to prove that what he said was true.
Yeah. I mean, I suppose he, in the actual incident itself, he was consciously putting himself in a place where he was outside of those privileges, trying to set up this kind of PR stunt, I suppose you could call it, in a cafe.
My argument about this has always been that two politicians who set up a PR stunt, if it goes wrong and they get stung, well, you know, I'm sorry, my sympathy stops pretty short.
Yeah.
I always wondered why the New Zealand media fell for that stunt. They were keen for the images, of course.
Sure.
But, I mean, essentially they were just trotting along behind a publicity stunt, doing whatever these politicians wanted them to do during an election, which is the very time the media media should do its absolute best not to be controlled by the politicians.
Yeah. So if Mr. Ambrose, you know, if his if the campaign is partially successful, even I suppose he would take whatever he could to get to get into the legal proceedings. I mean, is he looking for? Would this be quite a long drawn? How do these things? Are these things quick and dirty? Or the judge make the thing? Are they drawn out? Or,
I would suggest.
What kind of costs is he looking at?
Okay, well, and the campaign that I've started, and there's still a few days to run on it, so we don't know what we'll get ultimately. But it looks like it'll be less than $10,000.
Yeah.
But Mr. Ambrose actually has to find $38,000, and that isn't to pay his lawyers, which I think would turn people off. So I always can't, because nobody wants to see their money going to lawyers, do you? Yeah. So. I think it's important to note that this isn't to pay his lawyers. Yeah. I assume his lawyers will be doing it pro bono because it's a point of principle. But you need $38,000 in this case anyway to bring this case to the High Court. That's a court filing fee.
Yeah. What are the sort of outcomes of these types of cases? I mean, do you just get a slap on the wrist and the court says, look, you shouldn't have done that?
Or no, what? No, of, not at all. The defamation.
Are there remunerations?
Oh, totally. Yeah, absolutely. The claimant is usually looking for some significant claim for the court to rule that the person who's done the defaming has to pay out, and particularly in this case, right. Mr. Ambrose will be arguing, I guess, that he's lost a lot of money through this. He's actually suing the Prime Minister for I think it's $1.35 million. Obviously, what you claim and what the court agrees with are going to be usually quite large, a big difference between those two figures. So I assume he's seeking a lot more than he's probably realistically expecting to get. But he won't get anything if he doesn't get to court.
Sure, yeah.
And for me, there's a wider picture here. It isn't just about Mr. Ambrose. It's about the state of the media at the moment and the overall influence that the powerful in society have on the media.
Yeah.
The media is just nothing like the free fourth estate agent it was even 10 years ago, and I think it's time to push back. And I'm not a lawyer. I don't know how the court will find in this case, but what I do know is that if we don't push back at the powerful, they're increasingly taking over the public sphere, controlling the public sphere, and ultimately damaging our democracy seriously.
Yeah, definitely. So it could be quite a, you think that it could be one of those kind of landmark, you know, precedent-setting cases in New Zealand?
Absolutely, absolutely. I think if it were to go to court and Mr. Key were to lose, and I guess I don't want to speculate too much because it is, he's trying to get it before the court, and at some point it will become sub judice, I guess. I don't know. I can't talk too much about the details. But I think that if Mr. Key loses, was to be brought to court and lost, prime ministers in the future would definitely think twice before they just lashed out at individual journalists who, after all, are being paid to do their job on behalf of all of us.
So do you see it as a kind of a new Atkinson versus Longy type case?
Well, it might have that kind of influence. I mean, that was a slightly different matter. The Atkinson versus Longy case was around whether Joe Atkinson, who's a political scientist at the University of Auckland, or was.
He's retired now,
left now, I think. But he was also a columnist for Metro Magazine, and he wrote a column about David Longy in which he criticised him for being a lazy prime minister. And, of course, that's not what anybody thinks of David Longy, and especially David Longy didn't think of him like that. You can't defame the dead, so we can say what we like about Mr. Longy today.
So that was a defamation sort of...
Longy sued Atkinson for defamation.
Right.
But the court found that actually, and this is why that was a landmark case, was that... And we kind of knew it in the New Zealand media at the time, but this was the court proving once and for all that we have the right to make fair comment on the performance of our politicians, even if it criticises them and lowers them in the estimation of right-thinking people.
Yeah.
They are our politicians, and we have the right to make fair comment.
Yeah.
And the court deemed it was fair comment because actually Longy was really bad at organising his cabinet meetings. That was what Atkinson was writing about.
Right.
Nobody thought he was a lazy prime minister in terms of being a statesman, but the cabinet papers weren't in order the Monday morning. He just didn't do his paperwork, which is, arguably a prime minister should have his paperwork in order.
Yeah. So what kind of people... how long has the campaign been running so far?
I think we started about... maybe 12 days ago. Okay. Or 14. Oh, no, sorry. And I think it was running for 16 days, and we've just extended it to the 20th.
Yeah.
Give a little, we're prepared to extend it.
So do they have a specific sort of regulation around how long these things can run, or why?
Oh, no, you set it up. You say how long you want it to run for. You can either have a target or you can have it open.
Right.
We set a target of 38,000 just so people knew what he needed. I never really expected to get to 38,000, but we've had about 200, just under, like by one or two, 200 people donate, and we've got nearly $8,000. So,
And what kind? Do you know what kind of people are donating? I mean, are they journalists? How much? What kind of? You know, is it starting to get the media? Is anyone in the media picking it up amongst themselves? I mean, is it kind of?
Radio Live, ZB, NBR Radio. They all rang me for a quick interview.
Yeah, yeah.
Stuff wrote a story about it.
Yeah.
I don't think there's been anything on the Herald.
Yeah.
The media was sort of slightly interested in it. I have to say, I was a little bit disappointed. Not that I think they should rush to my cause at all, but I just think that maybe they could see the broader picture here and understand it's actually them at threat here. What sort of people have donated? Well, you can donate anonymously, so I don't know all of the people. Give a Little has everybody's email address.
Yep.
If we don't make enough money, and Mr. Ambrose, I believe he's consulting his lawyers in the last few days, has been consulting his lawyers about what they do now. If he really can't find the rest of the money and can't bring this case, then we have a decision to make. Do we return all the money to donors, which is a completely possible thing, although Give a Little, I think, gets a little irritated with the minor returning of $5 and $10 to people's bank accounts. But nevertheless, that certainly will happen.
Yeah.
If people want their money back, they can have it. Or we can nominate a charity to which it goes, but people still have the choice to say, yes, you can use my donation for that or not. And there's the Centre for New Zealand Centre for Investigative Journalism would be a good recipient. Bradley actually has a couple of charities in mind, but I'm hoping that his lawyers will say, between them, they'll work out how they find the other $30,000.
Yeah, yeah. These sort of Give a Little campaigns, we've seen, you know, one we've had one recently in the, you know, that made quite a splash with the purchase of the piece of property in the South Island.
I thought that was weird. I thought, I personally believe the New Zealand public's disappearing as an entity. I think we're losing our sense of what a public is and what rights it has. And it seemed to me that just before it disappeared, the New Zealand public reached out and bought its own beach.
Yeah, I suppose so. But do you see this? I mean, I guess what I was swinging this around to the kind of the implications of these sort of platforms and campaigns as a weird sort of, you know, democracy where you can kind of vote by giving money towards the sort of whole crowdfunding.
It's a phenomenon, isn't it? And there are so many opportunities.
I mean, if you're
created by the digital revolution, and this is just one of them. I mean, it's very easy to donate. Not that I'm doing that just to encourage people to donate, but of course I'd love it if they did. But actually, if you do just come across an issue in the media and there's a Give a Little page, within 5 minutes you've contributed, you know? And that's that makes things simple. Democracy is changing as communication changes, and communication is at the heart of the public sphere, and the public sphere is at the heart of the liberal model of democracy.
Well, it can be expensive. I mean, on one hand, you do have platforms that allow anyone to sort of enter in, but on the other hand, in some ways, to really amplify your message or do something like what you're trying to do and consult lawyers and really, you know, make an impact, it can be expensive. And this is a sort of an interesting phenomenon, I suppose, of where you can get little donations. And it seems to me it's really getting to the point where for a long time people were reticent to make small payments online. You know, sort of
funny,
the micro payment thing was like, But now you get $5 or something.
Yeah, it's like, absolutely. Yes, and there were plenty of $5 donations.
Yeah.
And if people want to see the comments, they can go onto the Give a Little page and you can hit the donations link and you'll see the comments people have left. And some of them are, you know, pretty much along the lines of, you know, best of luck. I'm sorry, I'm a student. I've only got $5, but good luck.
Yeah, yeah.
Other donations. collections have been up to a couple of hundred dollars, and you know, some people are pretty determined with their comments that this is a very positive campaign.
And I suppose it's not one of those campaigns where you know, I mean, if he wins, do you know, if I donate like $1,000, do I get to go have tea with Bradley?
You know, what?
Have him record it.
I can't promise you, but if you gave him $1,000, I think he'd have a cup of tea with you. It's. I think people get that this isn't just about Bradley Ambrose, but about pushing back at the powerful in society who seem to be taking their power a little too far.
Yeah, definitely. All right. Well, thanks, Greg. That's a really interesting conversation and a campaign. I mean, even if it doesn't get its 8,000, I think it's sort of the implications of being able to do these things might make politicians and think a little bit more about it, even if it doesn't, is not successful, I would hope.
Yeah, I guess that's the point. Yeah.
But I mean, the sort of symbolic gesture is definitely worth it. So just one more time, if people are, you know, have been listening or hear this later on this week and they're interested, they just Google Bradley Ambrose, and is it pledgeme.co? Is that
givealittle.co.nz. Okay. You don't need to Google Bradley Ambrose, you just need to go to givealittle.co.nz and search on the Give a Little site for Bradley Ambrose, and it'll pop up, and you can have fun reading everybody's comments and decide whether you want to donate yourself.
Oh, definitely. Okay. Well, that's great. I'll mention it again at the end in case people want to have a look later on. And I'm going to have a look myself, actually. Interesting cause. Hey, thanks a lot for coming in. Really appreciate it. And
thanks,
we'll catch you again some other time, eh?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. All right, that was Greg Treadwell talking about the Give a Little campaign for Bradley Ambrose's legal fees, as he's trying, no, not legal fees, actually, for his court costs to get into the court itself to take a defamation case against the Prime Minister.
You're listening to Waiheke Radio, 88.3 and 107.4 FM.
Oh, welcome, Katie.
Hello, how are you?
Good. And Katie's in here to talk about a festival that she has organised for this afternoon, or actually early evening, I suppose.
Sunset.
Oh,
yes, that's right.
Good point. Called the Waiheke Song and Poetry Festival. Now, I'm imagining that this comes off a little bit off the back of some of the stuff that you've been doing at the Cove. Is that kind of
The Sandbar.
Oh, the Sandbar.
Yes,
sorry.
The Sandbar is actually also sponsoring
sponsor.
This event too.
Yeah.
Yes, it's right. We started that around August of last year.
Yeah. And so what's the kind of, how is this event going to work this afternoon?
Well, okay, so we decided there has been a poetry festival going for the last few years, and Sue Fitchett, who I do the Sandbar gig with, she pulls in the poets, basically, and I pull in the songwriters and musicians.
Yep.
And that was working really well down at the Sandbar, and then she suggested that we do the Song and Poetry Festival rather than just the Poetry Festival.
Yep.
Because the musicians enjoy the poetry, and the poets really enjoy the, you know, the music. So it's been a nice blend.
Mm. Yep. So tonight you're out. You're not at the Sandbar, of course. You're going to be out in front of the sort of little amphitheater, I imagine, by the library.
Yeah, right up front. Mm.
And what kind of things? So people just come by with a blanket or something? Or?
Yes, it's fine. There will be some chairs out as well, and the Artworks Bar will be open with pizzas and beverages, and so that'll be open from 6 on.
Yep.
So we kick off around 6:30.
Yep.
We're excited to have Raywin Alexander coming over. She's on the ferry right now, actually. I'll have to go down and pick her up after this.
Yep.
As our guest poet from Auckland. Yeah.
Oh, okay. And what kind of is she? It says here she's a performance poet.
Yeah, she's pretty wild. She's out there. She's been around the Auckland scene for quite a while, and she's put out quite a few books, poetry books and books. One of her books is called Glam Rock Boyfriends.
Boyfriends.
Yeah, Glam Rock Boyfriends. And we're also having a mystery guest band.
Yep, a good mystery guest band, okay.
Yes.
And then interspersed between these performers from town, we've got locals as well.
Yes, we have some good locals coming in. We've got and quite interesting poet on the island called Rata. I really like her style.
Okay.
We've got Mano will be on, and there'll be quite a few local poets and musicians who have been coming down to the Sandbar.
Yeah.
And They'll be up there.
Yep.
So, and hopefully Russell Deleuze is bringing some students from the high school as well.
Oh, yep.
So,
and you were performing as well?
Yes, I'll do a couple of songs as well, and I'll be running around sort of helping with everything else.
Yeah. So do you see this as kind of a one-off? Is there still a poetry festival this year, a writer's festival? No, this is definitely a writer's festival.
Yeah. This is different from the writer's festival. Yeah. I don't know. We're going to see how it goes, how it works, because 2 days of poetry sometimes can be a bit lengthy unless you're really a big poetry fan. So this sort of breaks it up, you know, makes it interesting for people.
Yeah, definitely. And the timing of this, so it's 6:30.
Yeah, it'll start right at 6:30. We're going to have a mihi, welcoming, and then we'll go straight with the guest poet.
Yeah.
And we're going to end up with the guest songwriter band.
Yeah, okay. So the songwriter band is from town. I've got a track by them, which I'll play after
they're called Soccer Practice.
After we finish. Mm. Do you know much about these guys?
Well, they've only been together since last year. They're young. Yeah. Some of them are out of Unitech. And the lead vocalist is Geneva Alexander Masters.
Yeah.
And she's actually Raywin's daughter. And she's been doing some very interesting things. There's a track called Windfall that you're probably going to play
I'm going to play that a little bit later.
And they've just done a remix of a Maori haka song, which has been getting phenomenal play on all the student radios throughout the country just over this last couple of weeks. Yeah.
And so they're bringing their instruments, they're going to set up down there?
Yes, they're going to set up and everything. We're going to virtually end, they're going on last, so we'll have them sort of carry on for a bit.
Yeah, so nine-ish.
That's the one.
So a bit of a family event. You can come down with the kids. And
it's family friendly.
It's good down there at night, when it's nice weather, which it looks like it's going to be tonight.
That's what we thought.
Yeah.
And not so much in a bar inside sort of feeling. It's different.
And you anticipate you might put this on again at some point?
Yes, well, we'll see how it goes. Absolutely.
Yeah.
I enjoy working with Sue. She's the real nuts and bolts person.
Yeah.
She's also a volunteer at Fire Brigade person. So if there's any trouble, she's on the case.
Anybody catches on fire,
anybody catches on fire.
Or what, a spontaneous combustion, perhaps, from the exuberance of the poetic. And I see Mr. Hooper has noted on his last review for Radio Rebelde that you were playing again on Sunday
Oh, so yes, that's right. What was I thinking? Well, Ruth Wyand, she's from North Carolina. She's a songwriter, blues guitarist, really quite phenomenal. She plays slide and things like that. She does a multimedia show where she's got a film. This is going to be the history of American music, basically. Yeah. So there'll be she'll talk about major American musicians who have, influenced everybody. And then she'll do a song by them.
And this is what she's actually doing down at Stefano's.
Yes.
Multimedia.
She'll set up a screen.
Yeah.
And the last one she did was very popular, Mama Sings the Blues. So Mama's Got the Blues.
Okay.
I think it was. That's Mama's Got the Blues. And that was the history of women and blues since way back to 1910. I didn't even know some of the people that she was talking about. It was very interesting.
Nice.
So it's both informative and entertaining at the same time.
Cool. So that's on at Artworks tomorrow.
At Stefano's at 7.
At 7. And how do you get tickets for that? You just come
on? Well, actually go to Stefano's. Yeah, because it has sold out in the past, so I advise people to get them today.
So that's 7 o'clock tomorrow. And that lasts for a couple of hours?
Yes, that's a couple of hours. Mm.
Oh, that sounds good. I live down there. Maybe I'll just walk
down.
There you go.
Easy.
Cool. All right. Anything else you want to let us know about? You know that's going on?
Yes. Well, the reason I was a bit late today, I'm sorry about that, but I have had a call from Chris Knox's people because since Chris
has people.
He has people, major people. Since his stroke, he did agree to do this performance tonight, but his people have said that he's not going to be able to do it. So I'm very disappointed about that. And we have been sort of spreading it around, but unfortunately at this stage he doesn't feel up to performing today. Yeah. So it's just, he has had a serious stroke and he is still, rehabilitating from that. So.
Oh, definitely.
So it was much for him today. I know.
We do have this other band or the band Soccer Practice.
Soccer Practice is definitely going to be worth, people look that up and they'll see what I'm talking about. Very, very cool young band coming up.
Okay, well, I will play a track by them. I'm also going to play a track that you had sent me
Oh, okay.
Earlier. Was that, I mean...
Yeah, fine.
You got anything about this? This is a track called Daddy Love.
Oh, yes, Daddy Love. All right. Well, it's a real country... Yeah. We'll go with the country mic show.
Let's do that, yeah.
I recorded it with the Manoan sons. The Manoan's two sons now play with them a lot of the time. Namanaki on bass and Uanuku on drums. And we recorded this in my little garage studio a few weeks ago. So it's called Daddy Love. It's a... It's a country blues.
Country blues song. And, all right. Well, hey, thanks for coming in, Katie.
Thank you very much.
Make sure that if you are, if you're looking for something to do tonight, just wander on down to the Artworks. It looks like it's going to be a lovely night, warm night.
Free event.
Poetry. Free event. Some interesting poetry, some town poets, some local poets, and some music interspersed in there. Real relaxed atmosphere. Like Katie said, the theatre is going to be open for the bar and pizzas and things like that. So you could just do it all in Onaroa tonight.
There you go.
You've been listening to the Interviews from Island Life, our weekly look at Waiheke people, events and issues, every Saturday morning from 10 till 12, with interviews repeated on Wednesdays at 7pm and Thursdays at 12:30pm. Island Life is brought to you by The Village Butchery, the place to go for great cuts of meat and friendly service. You'll find them at 102 Ocean View Road, Onaroa.